RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
4 seconds left, second and goal. Here is Williams. He's got to throw it to the end zone. Clock has expired. Williams keeps the play alive. He's looking. He's got to get rid of it. Retreating, he throws. Incomplete. It's over. And the Niners have won. Burden injured in the end zone. Clock finally strikes midnight on these Bears. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers win here next Sunday against Seattle. And the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC comes through the place where they'll play the Super Bowl.
Dagnabbit, Mike Tirico, that was not supposed to be what you were supposed to say. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The 49ers survived the Bears' threat to try to win that game 42-38 in an absolute classic, a fun game to watch. The Bears go 15 plays, 63 yards in 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and unfortunately, with 4 seconds left, second and goal at the San Francisco 2, it came down to the final play, and so many times before we thought, oh, this is going to be it. This is it. They're going to do it again. First it was the Packers. Can it be the 49ers next? But alas, defense holds. Play didn't get set, as we heard Caleb Williams say. Ben Johnson took responsibility, and it ended.
I love accountability in a loss. And listen, on a night in which your offense puts up 38 points and you're talking about it was his fault, Ben Johnson, I'm saying, I love that element of this. But I love the fact that I went into this game thinking, okay, the Bears should not win this game. It's a road game at the 49ers. Their offense is red hot. I don't think the Bears were going to win. That was my official pick, even though I didn't make it on the air because I wasn't here. But I didn't think they were going to win this game. To start that drive knowing they had the 2 minutes and the 15 seconds, to knowing that they had all three timeouts, to knowing they faced a 4th and 5 in which they got the ball to Colston Loveland for 13 yards, I felt like this was the culmination of a season of offensive development, despite not being able to finish the drive off and stopping short at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, the symbolism was real. You're right about that. The 3rd and 10 conversion as well to Luther Burden. And when I say the symbolism, I'm talking about the fact that these Colston Loveland and Luther Burden are both high draft picks, rookies for the Bears this year that in theory you're going to have around for a long time. And they made massive plays on that particular drive. The Loveland play was the 4th and 5 conversion to Colston with 26 seconds left before the old hook and ladder from Colston Loveland to DeAndre Swift to the 2-yard line. And I don't know what your guys' reaction in the moment of that was, but mine, like, frightening, scary to see that, to see trickery, to see a hook and ladder, see the ball going to one player's hands and flipped to the other's, like, whoa, what are you doing here? Not saying I didn't hate the play. I'm not saying I hated the play, but in the moment, it's scary as hell when you see that.
I think there are a couple of play calls. We're starting to develop our own book on Ben Johnson. You know, I like to say the NFL develops a book on you with a new team after a year. I feel like we're starting to see some plays, especially in goal to go, where you can see that the Bears think they're going to get a touchdown on these certain plays just based on the rhythm of the game and the play calling. The secret sauce here is you still have to execute. And that's, I think, what makes it okay to watch this and understand scheme as it's unfolding. I say all of that to say it looked pretty obvious to me. They thought that they were going to varsity blues this and get into the end zone on the hook and ladder and win district. And Mox was going to ride off into the sunset.
Ooh.
Yeah, mocks the...
Oh, I think I said box. Mox. Remind me of Ranji.
No. Yeah. Although, shout out to Ranji, because he's usually on the air this week.
You saw the text, I
Yeah,
assume.
Like somebody asked if Ranji and I are doing shows together. By the grace of God, no.
Not by
so,
the grace
so
of God.
That, I'm happy that? About that.
Yeah. Why would you say that?
Because nobody needs that.
We all need that.
No. So, point being, though, it was not Varsity Blues. They did not pass go on the hook and lateral. They did not collect $200. And, unfortunately, there was another play to run. And as we saw, the problem too with that trick play is it takes time. And then you see what happens on the ensuing call. So then the Bears have trouble getting set. The clock is ticking. You've got to run a spike play. And unfortunately, that's when you see what happens. So so it was the hook and ladder. There was the crowd. You know, it's in the middle of the field. You were that close to getting into the end zone. And then you had one play left. And unfortunately, I think we saw you're trying to make sure you get it off before the clock expires. And with 4 seconds to go, they couldn't have everybody set like they wanted.
So a couple of things here. The hook and lateral, I was fine with, except for I question... Because of the zone coverage that the Niners had been playing, whether that was something that is more of a man beater, because it seems like it is to me, as opposed to going up against zone coverage.
Hook and ladder, even with that little space to work with.
Well, no, but if you watch the replay from behind the quarterback vantage point, you could see all the bodies from that zone coverage versus what would have been there versus man. It would have just been the safety.
Do you guys want to hear what Caleb had to say about that? What they thought they were going to get on that play?
Yeah. I would love to.
When the hook and ladder didn't go into the end zone, did it kind of pressure on you guys, given the time situation?
No, because actually, it was a situation that we've worked. The play before, I end up throwing it out of bounds, and so if I end up completing it, we would have done the same thing. And so, if I completed it inbounds, we would have done the same thing. And so, we were going for it, and that's who we are. That's how. Coach likes to call it, that's how I like to play. We go for it and we go for the win. And whatever kind of play it is, whatever case may be, that's how we play. And we're going to keep playing that way.
Caleb, on the lateral play, did you guys get the coverage you were looking for? And what did they do to kind of prevent DeAndre from getting the corner?
Yeah, the corner actually fell off. And we thought he was actually going to attach a little bit more than he did. And so we thought Swift was going to be able to get around the edge, and the corner ended up sloughing off, and they made a great play. DeAndre got as much as he could, got down, and we ended up clocking and had the last play.
So there's a lot of anticipation there, and really the anticipation of what the defense was going to do based on the game flow was not just evident in that play, but then also the final play. And that's what leads us to having this discussion.
Well, and coming back to the idea that you're going to get it, and if you don't get in the end zone, you have time to clock it, run another play. You do have time to clock it and run a play, because by all standards, Ben Johnson's job as the play caller here and time and situation awareness is to not be in a press conference after the game talking about, I didn't get the play in quick enough. He should have gotten the play in quick enough. They should have had plenty of time, because remember, this is coming after a spiked ball. To get everything set up the way they wanted. Everybody was on the same page saying, we didn't get set up the way we wanted.
And that was my issue with the trick play, is that, simply put, it just takes time off the clock.
Yeah.
Takes time off the clock, takes time to develop. It would be awesome. It would be awesome, beautiful, everybody's farting rainbows, hurrah, pick up and lift, Caleb Williams and whoever ends up as the final player on that play going into the end zone. That would have been great.
So
the NFL script couldn't have been written any better, as we like to joke. But unfortunately, the 49ers, there was some anticipation when a game came to their defensive scheme. And if you don't believe me on this, well, listen to what Kyle Shanahan had to say about that final play that we saw.
The Bears kind of looked discombobulated on the last play there. Did you think about calling a timeout? What was kind of going through your head?
I thought about it. We wanted to see the look, and then they just went fast and let it ride.
So think about that when you hear Ben Johnson say we didn't get lined up fast. For all the hell that the 49ers have caught when it comes to losing a Super Bowl based on strategy at the end of a game in overtime, he knew the best thing to do was to let the Bears beat themselves in what he saw, them not properly using procedure to get to the line in a set way.
Is that more of the experienced head coach against the dynamic play caller versus an inexperienced head coach? Is that where that head coach versus head coach supersedes what Ben Johnson is as a play caller because of time and situation?
I guess you could say that. And if Ben Johnson is being genuine in his critique of himself, him saying that he didn't get the play in on time, then shame on Ben Johnson. That's a bad moment for Ben Johnson, not getting the play in on time.
So you heard the end result from Kyle Shanahan, a.k.a. Spider-Man to Ben Johnson's Spider-Man.
Totally get it.
and knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
G.I. Joe.
Now let's hear Ben Johnson take responsibility for what happened on that final play.
On the final play, what is kind of supposed to happen if everything works out?
Yeah, we didn't quite get aligned in the formation we wanted to. It's on me. I didn't give him the call fast enough, and so he's trying to piecemeal it together. I got to do a better job on that.
Yeah, it's a bad moment for Ben. It just is.
And even if it wasn't on his players, doesn't matter. He took responsibility.
He did. And so you're right. And don't do the disingenuous coach thing. Blame it on me. Okay, we'll blame it on you.
No, there it
you
sounded go. Genuine. And the thing is, every time I've heard him take accountability this season, it has sounded genuine.
It has.
Because he has had obvious mistakes, whether you want to go back to the first game of the season against the Minnesota Vikings and not being able to hold on to that lead in the fourth quarter as J.J. McCarthy does his thing that apparently he's doing again towards the end of the season, except for he's hurt now, and Max Brosmer's doing the thing, towards now where
yes.
he's advanced in his head coaching progression, if you will. Like, we expected Caleb Williams to take a step forward. We expected the team to take a step forward. And we expected awesome play caller, first-time head coach Ben Johnson to take a step forward. And for him to admit, even on that last play of that game, that he's not quite where he needs to be, he's still learning too. But I'd rather him make that type of mistake here and learn from it than, guess what, in 2 weeks when they're in a playoff game.
Well, and for example, we're not mad at the head coach right now is the number one topic here. Not getting in the final play call as he wanted it. You know, that's not what we're talking about. You know, we get to talk about, because of the body of work that they've put together, how do the Bears stack up against the best of the best in the NFL now that the playoffs are something this team has to prepare for as division champions? And that's what makes this all easier. When you have more moments like this that you can discuss, when it doesn't just come down to a final play and you're saying, if only this had happened, because they've done it before and they've executed on the final plays of games. Like, that's what makes this so different. And that's something that we haven't been able to say previously.
One thing that Ben Johnson, I thought was really interesting too from last night, was his unwillingness to, and maybe he was right, his unwillingness to admit any sort of different play call on the hook and ladder. He got the fishy business. Did you guys hear our guy Fishy Business getting the fishy business from Ben Johnson last night? Here it is.
With that play in that situation, obviously, you know, there's a possibility he gets tackled in bounds, but like, are you happy when you call that, you're okay with the...
Yeah.
With,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're not...
Kevin.
There's plenty of time. We got plenty of good plays. So.
Got to run it by Fishy Business.
The way he smiled, too.
He's like, you're not?
Like,
say something, mofo.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very much.
I don't know about you, Ben, but I remember the last time this team won the North, and Santa Slay didn't give way to any better plays. So before you understand where we're coming from, you might want to know that we don't necessarily know that we can go back to the play store and get another play.
It's sad to me that Santa Slay has become a dirty word. It was such a great moment.
I don't think it's a dirty word,
it
though.
Is,
I
though.
Think,
no, because they, we saw, the thing about that season is, by this time in 2018, we already knew the Bears were having sufficient red zone issues. Like, it was something where you saw them have to call trick plays to actually score. Like, basic stuff wasn't getting
was
the job
fun,
done.
It was fun, though. It really was. But
well, it's more
it
fun than losing.
And
I
it wasn't
that,
fun for
I,
years.
I
yeah, and then it's been a...
Next thing you know, the Saints are still in your play the next time you make the playoffs.
Oh, God.
Just to put it all in perspective, like, what we're talking about with this last drive and, of course, the last couple of plays of the drive and how we kind of got here. Understand this. Back before... You know, coming out of that difficult to absorb win over the Vikings in Minnesota, where we're like, yeah, they won, but and I was saying back then, we're going to find out, guys. Just be patient. We'll know by the end of December what this team is and what this team is not. When you look at win against the Steelers, obviously Black Friday win at the Eagles, the loss to the Packers where it comes down to the last play. a win against the Browns, which was dominant, a win against the Packers, which came down to the last play, and then now a loss against the Niners, which came down to the last play. I feel like we do have a sense now of what this team is, and maybe more importantly, what they are not heading into the playoffs.
I also, before we get to the break here, I do want to listen to Caleb Williams talk about the getting lined up on that play, because ultimately it's still kind of up to him before you see how this unfolds.
Your eyes, can you take us through the final play? Obviously, pressure came early, but what you saw.
Yeah. Getting lined up with not much time, and we were slightly lined up wrong, and so didn't have enough time to be able to fix it, having emotion and things like that. And so, you know, we just had to try and make something out of nothing in that situation. And then, you know, we had a shot. You know, with all of that going on, time running down, you know, us missing line and things like that, we had a shot. And, you know, just got to give my guys a shot in that situation. I think I haven't obviously gone back and watched yet, but I think I'd end up dirting the ball. Didn't get my legs into it. Just put the ball in the end zone in that moment. And, if it's a pick or incomplete at that point, then, you know, but can't dirt the ball.
Listen, I thought he was straight up on that, and the explanation makes perfect sense. And he's talking about, ultimately, the ball snapped. We have a shot to win the game. And I understand, Caleb, why you couldn't get your legs underneath the throw, because you were running for your doggone life. There were three players bearing down at you from different angles, I might add, so you couldn't even, like, readjust.
Yeah. Can you imagine the level to which the legend of Jahadae Walker would have risen if he catches that ball after the game-tying catch against Green Bay? Say, hey, how you doing, Jahadae Walker? Good to see you. Nice to meet you. Good to see everybody loves you. Well, and then if he had done that, oh, my God.
More importantly, Caleb Williams is also telling you why the play works at the end because of what happened at the beginning. And there were so many times in this game where you saw, I was specifically watching his feet to see when they would get set. And based on him planting his feet, I could tell whether or not the ball was going to be a completion at times. So when we talk about pre-snap procedure and how it relates to successful plays ending in the way you want them to, that's real progress out of the quarterback to me also in understanding why a play didn't work. It wasn't because they couldn't get it done. It's because that part before is so crucial. And we hear Kyle Shanahan echo the same thing. That's good. I mean, it's bad that it didn't work, but it's good that this is what's being discussed.
Well, we've been hearing it from Tim Jennings just about every week. Every week he mentions the feet and the eyes, and every week it seems to go up another level in terms of Caleb's understanding of it, execution of it.
That conversation tomorrow is going to be fascinating because there's so many different ways you can go with it. And I think ultimately the important thing is when they win or when they lose, whether it's success or it's failure, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and the rest of the Bears are aligned and they're on the same page. And I think that's so important when we talk about the C word that your boy can say now, Dan Weederer, DTN. When we talk about that, to know that everyone's on the same page, that's probably why Caleb Williams and everybody else has so much confidence going forward, even after a loss like this.
Well, there's another reason why he may have more confidence, and Bears fans do too. The rookie class had an excellent day at the office yesterday. So let's examine how two of the playmakers have been consistently improving and have become reliably dependable in order to make this offense work. So that's next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And the first down for the Bears. And Williams to the air one more time, sending it downfield to the end zone for Burden. He's got it! Touchdown, Chicago! Luther Burden just told you about his ability. Behind the secondary, and Williams hits him. Benedict, the extra offensive lineman, moved. Free play for Williams as the flag is down, so Caleb looking to launch, does towards the end zone. Touchdown, Colston Loveland! So it was a free play. Williams taking advantage of it. And if the flag is on the Niners, we're an extra point from a tie game.
You know, in the immortal words of Youngblood, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. People always seem to forget about that part of starting the stuff, though.
Wait, did they use the word stuff? I don't remember the word stuff being
used.
Ben
Johnson used vest, and I'm using stuff.
Oh, okay, I see. You're FCC compliant on this Monday.
Joe Madden had the best line about that of all time. Like when he said, we don't start stuff, but we'll finish stuff. A little message to the St. Louis Cardinals 2015.
You know what I'm seeing here? 16? Mark Rote.
Yes.
Mark Rote. This
yes.
is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670.
He'd rather talk
that
baseball?
That was courtesy of NBC Sports, Mike Tirico on the call. Is that your comp of this team is starting to inch in a different direction. And originally, it was 2018 with you and Weedsy, Dan Weeder on the Take the North podcast, Adam Studzinski producing. And now I feel like it's starting to get into 2015, 20, dare I say 16 Cubs comp
like next
territory.
Year, the Bears are going to take it all. Then what will the podcast be called? Take the North, Take the World. Maybe when Dan comes on, we will start to kick around some new ideas, new titles for the very popular Take the North podcast.
We
will?
Yes. Marshall recoiled like something hit him in the face.
Take it all and never give it back. The world is ours.
It's called the Oyster
world.
Podcast at that point.
It is oyster season. Hmm? You can't eat oysters right now. I saw a lovely video of an otter cracking one open.
Aww.
But the choice, I know, otters are adorable, but they fall into the category of adorable but will kill you, like bears. And apparently even like the baby bears that are just babies, because Colston Loveland and Luther Burden are out here just being crucial parts of the game to keep the Bears in it yesterday against the 49ers.
The development curve for these guys this season has been right on time, and it was frustrating early, and when some of us, especially as it pertained to Colston Loveland, lost a little patience, like why aren't they targeting, why zero targets, why are we going through all this? Again, remember, both of these guys missed the off-season program and were doing their first real football activities full force in training camp. A lot of times when guys miss that off-season program and they fall behind, especially as rookies, they don't make an impact, and both of these guys have. And I'll start with what Luther Burden is doing. What do you have, 138 yards last night? He has been, over the last, I know he didn't play last week, but the game's two previous games to that, the most important catches in the game. Again, Luther Burden does that. The 3rd-and-10 conversion, as we talked about earlier on that final drive with 1:09 left, 35-yard touchdown catch. The 24-yard reception on the first drive of the third quarter that led eventually to a touchdown. The 3rd-and-8 conversion, it seems like every single catch this guy has made in his last, I'd say, three games have been catches of consequence. And that's pretty amazing. And you could say a lot of the same stuff for Colston Loveland as well. Coming up huge on the 4th and 5 on that final drive, a third down conversion as well. And then obviously the big touchdown play where he gets open in the end zone for his quarterback, Caleb Williams, on a free play. That's heady stuff that's happening with Colston Loveland, too.
Oh, you're calling him an intellectual, are you?
I don't know. He went to Michigan. That. I don't know if I could go that far.
Oh, snap. What the heck? Why the stray to Michigan?
I don't know. I just felt like taking a shot at Michigan.
I don't know how much this has to do with Roma Dunze being out and obviously DJ Moore being under the weather but toughing it out as well. But when you look at the final box score and you realize that there were 39 targets in this game and that 19 of them, that's almost half, went to Luther Bird in the third and Colston Loveland, and you realize there were 25 catches in this game and 14 of them, that's well over half, go to Luther Bird in the third and Colston Loveland, that shows you just how prominent they have become and how featured they have become in Ben Johnson's offense, but also in Caleb Williams' view of the offense.
Well, and it helps when, I hate to say this, but when Olamide Zaccheaus is not available in the game, and I don't like cheering on illness or injury for anyone, but it does make somebody have to read the field differently. And in this case, it meant that Luther Burden and Colston Loveland were getting more targets. And that's, I think it's more like finding the silver lining in something. But also, think about even going back to when I think we really started to see the reliance upon Colston Loveland in clutch situations. Think about that touchdown catch he had against the Bengals. Yeah, that here you are trusting a rookie in coverage to use his height and his physical matchup and the mismatches that he's able to create with his body and just his size. And then the footwork to go with it to be able to get this done. And how about some of the moves that we saw at Luther Burden yesterday? My word, the juke moves and just some of them. Was it on Chase Lucas where he moved on him outside? And I was like, oh, you broke an ankle there, Luther Burden. Like the way he's able to use the yak and rack to his advantage more than any, I think, any other player on this team. And I say that knowing that that is really what DJ Moore does well. But he hasn't been, as we know, targeted as much. And DJ also had illness concern yesterday. But the way that they are confident in throwing the ball to Luther Burden before the sticks, even in a third down situation, fourth down situation, knowing that he will get them the yards that they need is a real trust that you don't see very often out of rookies.
I'll say this. For Luther Burden III, he has the most elusivity of any Bear, period. And what I mean by that is not just his ability to make people miss, but also after contact, he'll still do work. DJ Moore is more of a, if you hit me, I'll still keep going forward guy. Luther is, I might make you miss, and then that second guy, even when he does hit me, I'll still be moving forward. And I think seeing him and Christian McCaffrey on both sides of the ball, that they reminded me of each other in the way that they were able to get more yardage than maybe you thought they would get when they first get the ball in their hands.
What if I told you guys that
tell me
Colston Loveland and or Luther Burden could end up being the Bears' leading receivers this year by the numbers. Right now, DJ Moore is back on top, has leapfrogged Roma Dunze with 671 yards receiving. Dunze right now at 661. Colston Loveland, after yesterday, 48 catches this year for 622 yards. Luther Burden at 617. So, could be very, and another, like, sort of symbolic of the future and what's going on with the Bear, if one of those two is to end up passing up DJ Moore for the top receiver on the team right now. And I say this knowing that Roma Dunze has been injured, and who knows what would have been for him if he had stayed healthy.
No, I mean, that's part of this. We've talked about this. And when a new head coach comes in, he wants certain personnel. You trust Ben Johnson because he has a view of the offense, even though it's going to be different because he's with the Bears. How is this going to look to him? And Colston Loveland drew those Sam LaPorta comps. We saw him pick before Tyler Warren, who had an excellent start to his season. And it was only a matter of time to figure out how this was really going to turn out for him. And I think we're seeing that unfold. And as far as Luther Burden is concerned, I know there were some concerns from people watching his film at Missouri or hearing certain things, but he showed you his dedication from the very beginning when it came to no block, no rock. Mm-hmm. Luther Burden knew the best way to get on the field early was to help block. And then he started to earn his reps. And now you've seen that trust develop. I can't say enough about the performances of those two. And frankly, if we're going to give credit to the rookie class, I would have liked to have seen more runs from Kyle Manungai yesterday. I think that would have helped, especially in the first half.
I think I would have liked to see more runs from anybody and everybody yesterday. When you look at the final numbers of 22 carries for 110 yards as a team, 5 yards a carry, you can run the football. They just didn't have it in the first half.
Well, Swifty's over 1,000. I say that as a compliment. I'm not saying that he didn't do enough. I like what he's doing.
No, I love what he's doing. And back to the Colson Loveland, and obviously the player that he will be most compared to, at least in the early part of his career, is Tyler Warren.
Of course.
And Tyler Warren has more bulk yards, if you will, because Tyler Warren has 791 yards receiving to Colson Loveland's 622. They have the same number of touchdowns, 5 each. 5 receiving touchdowns for Colson Loveland, 4 receiving, 1 rushing for Tyler Warren. But I'll say this. The yards per reception advantage Colson Loveland, averaging 13 yards per catch so far this season. And when you look at Colson Loveland versus Tyler Warren, it's a lot closer than I ever thought it would be after, say, the first 5 or 6 games this season.
No, it felt like a nightmare early on because most people expected the Bears to select Tyler Warren. There's a lot of people who were dug in on him, and then there was a lot of I told you so going on. And who knows? I don't know. Tyler Warren might end up being better than Colson Loveland, but it looks like a hell of a race to follow, which I know the Colts are going to do. And what a just a downturn for that Colts organization this year.
Well, here's the thing. You can still have one of the best tight ends in the league in the top 5 or, I don't know, dare I say 7 or 10, and be a very productive team. Do you think Detroit is saying to themselves, like, they'd rather have, you know, a peak Ertz brother, or, you know what I'm saying, or something along those lines, or a peak Travis Kelce versus Sam Laporta? I think they're probably pretty happy with Sam Laporta, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think when you consider the difference between tight ends at that point being pretty marginal, and then it's really about how you're using them schematically in the offense, and you know that the physical traits are there, the height and the body, and you see his footwork, okay, maybe there's a slight difference. You know, maybe Tyler Warren still gets the edge in a lot of people's eyes. I'm still happy with what I'm seeing out of Colson Loveland.
And the texter at the top asked the question, and I think we can answer this. Has anybody talked about the fact that Colson Loveland dropping his first pass, I believe with the word pass of the season last night? Yeah, I don't remember if we talked about it on an air, or I know we talked about it.
We talked about
backstage.
Our meeting.
Yeah, but I know we talked about it backstage. I don't remember if we brought it to the air yet, but that's true. That kind of blew me away. I did not realize that when he dropped that ball, which felt like death, even as good as he was, when he drops that ball, it's like, ugh!
I didn't think that was his first drop either. It's not an insult to him.
No,
it was his first drop of the game. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I did not know he had not had a drop this year.
I have to give a touch to the other rookie that had a big part in this game that we have not talked about, Ozzie Tripillo at left tackle. He can say, I was part of a Bears team that for the first time in a long time for any Bears quarterback, but the first time in Caleb Williams' career, ends up with no sacks in back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
No sacks allowed in back-to-back
games.
That's
fantastic.
That's something to talk about. That's an offense that's functioning at a high level when you're only taking a sack or two is one thing, but when you're just not taking sacks, that means you're able to, you know, put up 38 points.
You know, I thought of Mark Rohde's old friend when Juan Castillo got a job recently.
Yes.
But I really think that Dan Roschard deserves so much credit
this year
for being able to put this together the way he has on the line.
He's been the best offensive line coach like that on my time covering the Bears since 2018. And you had Harry Hiestand and
Who was incredibly reputable.
Right. He was never really able to put it together with the Bears, but yeah, that's a great word for him. He came in with a really good resume and well-respected in the league, and Juan Castillo is Juan Castillo. We all love Juan Castillo, but this
former defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, Juan Castillo.
Well,
don't ask me about that.
Former everything for everybody. Have you ever looked at Juan Castillo's Wikipedia page? Look at all the jobs
I've
that
looked at his
he's had.
Football reference page.
It's a lifer, man. He's living the NFL. NFL life is what he's doing.
Juan Castillo's Wikipedia is him going back to pass a football in a polo, which is also funny given that we just talked about him having multiple different jobs as an assistant coach.
Going Christmas shopping with Tevin Jenkins or looking deeply into my eyes.
Do you know what his job was?
I thought it was decorating
season?
The tree.
Decorating the tree, yeah.
Do you know what Juan Castillo's job was this past season?
Was he the assistant offensive line coach for the Houston Texans?
He was not.
Oh.
He was an analyst for the University of Michigan.
Oh, wow.
That's after being at the age of 72. That's what he did this past
season. Juan Castillo is 72?
At the age of 71, he was the offensive line coach for UCLA. You saw how that went.
I respect this man.
You know the right answer because I could see it in your eyes. I mean, that's what you tell me. That's what I see in the eyes. Maybe your blue eyes are lying to you. Yeah.
Wikipedia is not always correct on birthdays or much else. But according to Wikipedia, he's 66.
And my eyes are green.
I'm looking at his actual pro football reference page.
And there it is.
72.
That just goes to show you that Wikipedia is not always correct.
Yeah, he's been coaching since he was 29 years old when he was the defensive linebackers coach at Texas A&M Kingsville.
Wow. Kingsville.
He's just worked his way up from there.
How big would the Juan Castillo book be? It'd be like a president's book, man.
He's had a lot of time doing a lot of things.
Yeah, good for
him. Are you going to be a Juan Castillo biographer?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like I think Chicago gets a chapter, man, with... So you all right over there with some of the stuff that...
It's a little alarming.
He said a little bit alarming. Yeah.
Okay. I have something coming up next. I asked this question on Instagram yesterday after the Bears took the North, but they didn't even really get to take it. It was given to them after the Packers lost on Saturday.
Right, right.
Kind of anticlimactic.
Thank you.
So then we've got to make it climactic. So I was like, what do we do? Is there a special podcast? Like, is there some sort of ceremony? And then I was like, yes, ceremony. I will hold a Take the North ceremony in honor of the Bears winning the division.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Congratulations, Bears! You finally took the North. It took a little while. Ryan Poles didn't say when they were going to take it and then never give it back. And right now, they haven't given it back, so the statement is 100% true right now, today.
They can't give it back until next season. That's the best part, is we know they're going to hold on to it for at least an offseason until somebody else clinches next year.
No more giving it back. There's been so much giving it back. They gave it back after 2018. They gave it back after 2006. They gave it back after 2001. Stop giving it back. Keep the damn North. That's going to be the new name of the podcast.
No.
Keep the North.
That's
it. It just doesn't sound active enough. Yeah, it's not active enough of a verb.
By the time that clears legal and everything else, they'll have already given it back.
Or this is the North.
Yeah, something like that.
You're right, Adam Studzinski. The Olympic music was the most appropriate. So then I'm like, wait a second. The Bears, they finally win the division. They finally take the NFC North. And then it's just an update on a Saturday night because the Packers lost?
Yeah, wait a minute.
What the heck?
This is not anticlimactic. Okay.
Yes, it was very anticlimactic. So then I asked on my Instagram story, I was like, wait a second. Dan Weir, Mark Grody, TTN.
That's right.
Podcast.
Episode up and running right now featuring Adam Studzinski, who filled in for Dan Weider last
night. Because after taking the North, doesn't there have to be something? And I was like, all right, fine. I will have a ceremony.
Thank you, Layla.
So, Mark, I have brought things to crown you and the Take the North podcast for taking the North, even though you didn't play in any of the games or sign any of the players. But I feel like it's the right thing to do.
You know I love being presented with things.
I will now get off the microphone. And, Adam, if you have any more pomp and circumstance type of music, I will proceed to crown Mark Grody.
So excited.
The Taking North.
Why are you
winner.
Shaking your head? Just because I'm getting a little tension here, Marshall?
Listen,
what's
you're
going
to get more, you're gonna get more attention tomorrow.
You?
You're going to get more attention tomorrow.
What do you have here, Layla?
We have a crown!
The crown say into the mic so people can hear you.
She made a crown.
The crown originally said Happy New Year, but now it says Happy North Year.
Oh my goodness, it really does.
Happy Bear Year. Oh! Fitted! Fitted perfectly.
There is no sash, but we have a matching black lay.
There it is. There's my lay.
Mark got laid, guys.
There it is, finally.
That's what she said. And there are cookies from the Jewel.
Oh, from the Jewels. What do we have here?
We have a variety of shortbread cookies.
Varietals. I might need some coffee. You got any coffee in that bag?
I only made coffee for myself. But these are the gifts to Mark Grody for being part of the Taking of the North.
I would just like to say I am so sorry to everybody who has had fun along this adventure of Take the North with all the little jokes, all the little barbs, all the little fun that people have had with our podcast being called Take the North is now over.
It's not.
It's not.
Because when they give it back, it's going to be back to the
jokes.
You think
they're going to give it back?
Also, I don't know if anybody listens to us at Halas Hall, and if so, I apologize for everything I've said, but not really. I especially don't apologize for this. You know what? Ryan Poles deserves, like, the Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons treatment. He deserves a sash that says, like, Take the North winner or NFC North champ and, like, a scepter. You know? It's time. He said it. He actually accomplished it this year. He deserves some sort of cool flair.
Layla, thank you for what you have done. You have made, and we needed this because when we were doing the podcast last night, Studzinski and I were kind of struggling because it should be this monumental moment, but it happened in the holiday nights when nobody was watching.
And then the Bears lost the next time we got on a podcast.
Right, so we didn't really know how to celebrate the like, I froze up. So thank you for this, Layla. This helps. And when we have Weederer on a little bit, what time is Weedsy on today?
12:25.
We'll ask him about it. And I've been hearing something. You know what we're working on? Take the North fans? A Take the North playoff special, which will air live here on The Score. Can't tell you the date yet because we're still working on that. But there will be a live Take the North on The Score playoff special coming soon.
What will be between now and Saturday of next week? I can tell you that.
That is correct.
In 2 weeks, excuse me.
We are cramming, trying to figure out the date that we want to do this. But there will be a Take the North playoff special, and I will wear the crown.
Also, I like the fact that I left the N on new, so the post-it just says Orth. Which means it could be like Ryan Porth.
Oh, Barth. Parth.
Yeah, we could do Happy Porth Year. But, you know, it's hard to find Take the North tiaras on such short notice. That's the thing.
Maybe that's something you should be marketing on your podcast and selling as an aside.
Ryan Poles does deserve a sash and a scepter. You know what? And frankly, a crown of some sort.
He deserves something. He put together an offensive line. If nothing else, this man put together an offensive line. He did draft Luther Burden and Colston Loveland.
Maybe the process was a little like Threat Level Midnight, where they had to reshoot a couple times and re-edit and what all. But you know what? The NHL All-Star game was saved. How so? Oh, that's Threat Level Midnight's plot. Have you not seen that episode yet, Grody, of The Office?
I have. I guess I couldn't reference that specificity that you just gave.
I love the way you sounded out the word specificity.
Yeah, that was a close call, man. I didn't think I was going to get it out, but there it was.
It's a tough word.
Specificity. It's a five-syllable word.
Why is it snowing again?
I'll drop a five-syllable word on you now. I just did.
What other five-syllable word do you have in your back pocket?
That's it for now. Supercalifragilistic expialidocious.
That's more than five syllables.
This is very reflective of how the Bears took the North. Unfortunately, we're not making it much different.
I wanted to hear you get monosyllabic. You know? Oh wait, that's a five-syllable word.
I'll keep on. Well, very good, very good. You got them in your back pocket too. Yeah. They come in handy sometimes. It's fun.
Every now and then,
it is fun. It's fun that the Bears won the North.
It's fun that the Bears are winning.
The Bears are going to host a playoff game.
Yes, and they can host two as long as they do what I tell them to do.
They might be the two seed. If they beat Detroit, they're the two seed, and they'll be hosting Green Bay.
Oh, and that brings up another question that we have as a team, by the way.
Team questions?
Yeah.
It's a five on it, right?
We have five of them, actually.
Oh, dear.
And on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday, sponsored by Busey Bank and Great Clips, we will bring you five on it next. But in the meantime, congratulations, ye Bears.
Thank you, Layla.
You have taken the North.
North has taken...
You don't give it back.
We are the podcast of record. Take the North. Please listen. Thank you.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.